Blog Talk Radio.
I'd like to welcome everybody here this evening. And the name God's Word in Action is really what it is. God's Word is really action. It's a verb word. It's not just words, but it has significance and meaning as we use the Word of God in our lives. And that's really what this program is about. Tonight, before we get started, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless this service tonight, to minister to each one of us. So I'm going to ask him to give me the words to say, as well as to prepare your heart for what he wants you to hear and for what he wants me to say, because you're not here by accident or by happenstance. You're here for a purpose. God has something for you. And I want you to open your minds and your hearts tonight and just leave the Holy Spirit minister to you what he would say to you. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you. We just want to lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you for the wonderful privilege to be on the air tonight to speak your word and to declare Jesus Christ as Lord, Father. Lord, we know that there's a purpose here this evening. We know that there's something you want to do, Father. And Father, we just commit this service to you. And I just ask that you would give me the words to say, give me wisdom and understanding for what I'm to do, and prepare the hearts of all listeners, Father. And Lord, I just ask that your anointing now would just flow through these airlines, these lines right here, these waves, Lord, that you would just minister to the hearers tonight, Lord, for whatever they have need of, whatever they're seeking for, whether it's salvation of their souls, healing for their bodies, finances, family problems, marital problems, whatever it might be, sickness, disease. Father, we just are believing you tonight that in the name of Jesus, by your anointing, you will destroy all yokes of bondage in the name of Jesus, and you will set your people free in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you now, and we just ask you just to bless the service. And for everything that's accomplished, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I was thinking really a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, and something that we haven't talked about, or you don't hear talked about very often, is really salvation. You hear people say about getting saved. You hear them talking about being saved. But how many times really have you heard recently the mechanics of it, what it is, what you do, what happens and everything? Many people, and I'm sorry to say this, but many people have never even led a person to the Lord themselves personally. They've taken the church and they got saved in church. The pastor led them to the Lord. They went back in the room and they prayed with them or whatever. But how many times, how many people have you personally led to the Lord, as you sat down and you talked with him, or as you were with him, that you personally led him to Jesus Christ? And that's what this is all about, because many people really don't know really how to lead people to Jesus. They know that you need to be saved, but they don't know really the mechanics of it, and there's things to do. Even though, really, when we come to the Lord, even the thief on the cross, he just said, remember me, Lord, so it's a matter of you giving your heart to Jesus. But there's things here in the Bible tells us about getting people saved and just what we're to do. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. But the message is called The Road to Salvation. Now, the beginning of the road to salvation is salvation of the soul. The first thing, we must be born again. That's the very first thing. And that's really what we're talking about. But after we're born again, salvation encompasses not only our spirit, but our soul and our body and everything that there is pertaining to our life. God's salvation plan, it's everything in a nutshell. Everything in a nutshell is what it is. But we must first be saved, and that is the most important thing, that we are saved from going to hell. Matter of fact, the scripture says in John 5:24, we are passed from death unto life, and that's what we need to be, passed from death unto life. It's just like it's something that I've always thought about in that scripture there, and about people getting saved, getting born again. Just like an airplane is headed down to crash, and that's just like people that are lost, they're headed down to crash, down to hell. But then when they receive Jesus Christ, automatically, it's just like the pilot would just pull the handle on there and then just take an upswing and the plane goes back up again, saved from the crash. And that's really what happens to people when they get saved. They pass from death, but they were headed downward, 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 and then their destination changed there and they received Jesus Christ. Just that quickly, that split second, it went from down to up, just like the airplane does. And that's really an analogy of what it is to me. That's what I've always thought about when people get saved. Their destination was changed right there in the spot. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30 that he that wins souls is wise. And, you know, that is so true, because we don't realize how valuable a soul is. You know, in God's eyes, one soul Now, take under consideration there's several billion people. I don't know, maybe 7 billion people from the time of creation. I don't know the exact figure, but we'll say 7 billion. But do you realize one soul is worth more than the whole world, all the gold, all the silver, all the riches, all the tea in China, and everything that there is on this earth? God values one person more than everything. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That is heavy. You have to think on that a while. You know, we don't just go over that real quickly like we know that. But when you meditate on that, wouldn't you think that's why that he that wins souls is wise, because of value in God's eyes? That's who we're trying to please the Lord. And it says, he that wins souls is wise. He that wins souls is wise. So therefore, if we win people to Jesus Christ, that is more valuable to God than anything, because that's the most valuable thing and the greatest thing that can ever happen to you and I personally, is to get born again, come to Jesus Christ and make him our Savior and our Lord. So that is the greatest thing. You know, a lot of people, when we talk about salvation, they'll say to you, sometimes they'll say, well, and they'll think it. They mightn't say it, but they'll think it. Hey, I got plenty of time yet. I'll have to do that later when I get older. I'll do it. I'll do it sometime. I'm just not ready yet. I just want to do some things yet. But, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, today is the day of salvation. This is the day, not tomorrow, but today, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We're all one heartbeat away from death in our bodies, from leaving this earth. All it takes is just that quick. They're gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. We don't know how long we're going to last. And we know that Jesus is coming soon, but we don't know how long we're going to live before that, you see. People are dying of all ages here. They're young people. I read the obituaries, and I see children. I see teenagers, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, going up over 100 years old. So age has nothing to do with it. Just because you're young doesn't mean that you're going to live another 60, 70, 80 years. So you see, we need to be prepared, because life is like a vapor of smoke. It's here, and then it soon vanishes away. So we need to think of it like that, because you don't know what another day is going to bring. But he says today is a day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Okay? You know, the value in God's eyes of a soul. So let's kind of look into this now. Let's just see what the Word of God says about this. The Bible says that there are none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one in God's eyes. Mankind is unrighteous and guilty of sin. Okay? Every one of us is guilty of sin. Every one of us. And as I get down a little further, I'm going to explain some things about that. But every person, no matter how nice a man or how nice a lady or how nice a young man, young lady they are, or how great they are, what they do, it says their righteousness is of filthy rags in the eyes of God. They're unrighteous. They're not prepared. They're not ready. In themselves, they're not ready. There's none righteous, he said. And he says in Romans 3:23, he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is true. We have all sinned from the cradle to the grave. Everybody has sinned. There's nobody sin-free. The only one that was sinless was Jesus Christ. So we're all guilty of sin. A lot of people think it because they did a good job, they're a good person, they don't hurt anybody, they pay tithes, they're kind to their neighbors, they're kind to people, they do all types of kind works. And this is wonderful. Matter of fact, we should be living our lives with acts of righteousness. These are acts of righteousness. These are good things. But that doesn't get us saved, you see. The only one that can get us saved is Jesus Christ. So in ourselves, we are not saved. We need a Savior. We need to be saved. Now, we're going to see how this thing all began, because in the eyes of God now, every man, woman, boy, girl, baby is guilty of sin. We're all dead. Now, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed on upon all men, for all have sinned. Okay? Now, where this began was Adam and Eve. This is where the sin began, because when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, Eve was tempted three times, and she failed the temptation, and they sinned, and of course they were kicked out of the garden. Sin came upon all men, and so it says by one man sin entered into the world, and that was Adam and Eve. It began, and from that time forth, every man, woman, every boy and girl, every child born was guilty of sin, even as a baby, because they were conceived in sin. They were conceived in sin. And since they were conceived in sin, they're guilty of sin, you see. So it's not that the baby has committed a sin in what they did because it's a little baby just coming out of the mother's womb, but yet they were born into sin. So therefore, they are sinners also. Okay? The Bible tells us a little further now. We call Jesus the second Adam. The second Adam is Jesus. And why we call him a second Adam? Because it says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? Jesus, when he went on his 40-day fast, when he was in the wilderness, he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. If you remember, Satan tempted him three times. And those three times are the same three temptations that Eve was tempted of. She was tempted of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. And they failed it. They failed that. But now when Jesus was tempted of Satan three times, what happened was he was tempted of the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. But all three temptations he conquered. So therefore, he overcame what Adam and Eve failed, which actually he brought it back to man right there. He began bringing it back to mankind there, because what they failed, he brought back, okay? So anything now that happens in our life, this is something that's very important to remember. Any temptation or any sin, anything that comes against you in life, it's under the three categories of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Every temptation that the devil has is under one of those three categories. There's nothing outside of those three. They are the three temptations that everything fits under. Whatever the temptation is, it's under one of those categories there. So that's the whole ball of wax for what Satan has, those three temptations. But Jesus defeated that in the wilderness. He overcame Satan in that. So therefore, he got that back from where man failed. He got that back. Okay? Something that I said a few minutes ago, I'll clear it up now. Maybe some people say, well, a little baby sins, you mean they're going to go to hell? No. Something that we have about this, we call the age of accountability, age 12. That's how old Jesus was when he went to the temple. And a child, like a small child or children, usually up to that age are in the age of non-accountability. You see, they would go if they would pass away before that time. But when you become understanding of these things becomes a reality to you, that's when you're held accountable. Matter of fact, I have known people in times past, a lady one in particular, a number of years ago, she was saved at age 4, and she was maybe 30-some years old at that time, and she testified of it, and it was just as real to her when she was 4 as when her age then, which is probably around 30. So some people get saved at a young age, but with a child dying at the age, they're not held accountable in that sense, to the age of accountability. So I wanted to clear that up, because you'll think, oh my heavens, a baby dies or a child dies, they don't receive the Lord, they're not able to understand things, what happens. No, there's an age of accountability there. But it's from a time that we are at the age of accountability, or we are accountable and know these things, that's when God holds us responsible, you say. Okay, now for sin, he tells us that our just reward for sin is eternal hell, but through God's gift of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. Okay, our reward for sin without Jesus Christ is eternal hell, eternal punishment in the lake of fire. And you know, the lake of fire, I did a little teaching on that about the lake of fire, and you know, and this is really a very small phrase of really what it is, but if you can imagine, you know what fire hurts, feels like if you're by a fire, by the stove or a match, if you put it against your skin, it hurts, doesn't it? Sure. Now, imagine a body that you could take a match to, but it won't dissolve the body. You'll feel the pain of it. Okay? People that go to hell will have a body that will not be burnt, just like the burning bush there that Moses saw. It would not burn up. It just burnt, but it wouldn't burn up, and that's where it will be for those that are lost. It's just like that, flames all over their body. And then it'd be a place darker than any place that you could imagine, the darkest dark, darker than you and I have ever seen. And then it won't be, you'll be there with your buddies. A lot of people say, well, I'll go to hell with my buddies. No, that won't be, because it'll be a lonely place. You'll be off to yourself in compartment. There'll be nobody with you in that sense. And then you'd be in there, not only with that, but what you could have had. A lot of times it would come back to just be running over your mind for all eternity, that you could have had this. You had a time that you could have received Christ. You could have received Jesus Christ, your Savior. You could have been with your loved ones, your family. And you'll think of your family and those that have passed, and you won't see them anymore. And many of them probably went to heaven, you know. And you'll recognize that there's no hope. And I think the worst thing about it, as horrible as what I've said already, is all those things, the flame, the fire, the torment of the mind and everything, is the hopelessness of it. It's knowing that you're there and it never ends. It's not like in this earth. People that are sick, people that are in prison, people that go through hard things, there's only a certain time, because people die in their bodies. People go to prison, either die in prison or they're released after a certain amount of time, as horrible as those things are. But hell is eternal. It has no ending, you see. And these things keep going over and over. And they would be like a movie going over in people's minds of what they could have, how many times they're witnessed to, and what they said, what they did, what they should have done. It'll just haunt them forever and ever. And it's horrible. This is what lies ahead. But this is a reward for those without Jesus Christ. But he said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Jesus didn't want you and I to go to hell. That's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross because of that. If you remember in Gethsemane, he had a battle and he fought there of that horrible thing that lied ahead. But because he wanted to obey the Father, he said, not my will, but your will be done. He wanted to obey the Father because the Father wanted to redeem us from going to hell. And he wanted to bring us back to him and take us to heaven someday. So he sent Jesus. He literally bankrupted heaven when he sent Jesus there. He sent the best gift that he could. He gave himself. He gave up. Jesus gave up heaven for that period of time. It said he became poor that we could become rich, which he wasn't poor in any way when he was on this earth. But where the poorness was, when you compare this earth to heaven, earth looks like poverty. That's what it meant when it said he became poor, because anybody who's in heaven, when they have streets of gold and you have all types of stones there and everything around the buildings and everything, it's built of glass and diamonds and things beyond really understanding almost. When that's around you, the earth and everything.
You're not on the air.
I'm not on the air.
You're not on the air. The meeting from Friday. The song keeps playing. This is the third time that it's played. You were cut off. The song came on, and then the man from Friday came on, and now he went off, and then the song just keeps playing over and over. This is the third time.
I thought I heard it.